You know, I think it's important to remember that, you know, we're the drivers of our own life. So yeah. If you want to pull over and sit on the shoulder for a while, then you're not going to get, you're not going to reach your destination. The choices you had to make or the circumstances that you were faced with, you can allow it to take you off course, or you can use it as a life lesson and let it, you know, push you forward. So there are choices that we need to make. It's all in how you look at it. If you dwell on it as a failure, if you use these words, mistake, failure, and things of those natures, and you walk and live in it as if it is, then it's hard to look at it as a lesson.
Welcome to the Andrea Engstrom Show for Bold Women in Business. We are passionate about helping you break through to your next level of abundance, success, and freedom so that you can create the life you desire and inspire others to do the same. I'm your host, Andrea Engstrom, and I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Brenda Stroud. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, girl. Hey. So good to see you.
Thank you so much. Well, today we're going to talk about decisions that changed my life. And I know there's decisions that changed your life, but I am so happy and grateful. Today, I am celebrating my sobriety birthday. I have been sober for 3 years today, and I am just feeling really happy and grateful about that.
Happy anniversary. I'm super, super excited to be here with you as you share this occasion.
Thank you so much. And you know, this week I was, it brings up a lot of feelings and a lot of thoughts. And, you know, one of the thoughts that I was journaling about today was just how your life can change so dramatically over the course of a short period of time when you make a decision and take decisive action. And this is also the week, the same week that 4 years ago, I made a decision to get started in real estate investing. And I took massive action that week. And by the end of that week, I had two properties under contract. And so that was also a decision that absolutely changed my life.
Absolutely. And I think even tied to that, if you hadn't made that decision, I wouldn't know you.
I know. Like, well, here's the thing. It's like when you make a decision and then you take massive action, it doesn't just change your life.
Right.
It changes other people's life. Your circles can change completely, you know, since I made that decision. And I have to tell you, you know, I always come back to this idea that commitment, you know, commitment is really important. Recommitment is even mm-hmm. more important because, absolutely. You know, I originally made the decision to stop drinking, to get sober 5 years ago. Wow. And I worked on it really hard. I worked on myself for 2 years, and I thought I was good and that I could return back to drinking like a normal girl. Right. And I found out really quickly that that is not my story. You know, I think there's some people who can, you know, cut things out for a while and then return back to it. But I learned from that that's not me. And I have to be real about what my situation is and how I'm wired. And the story for the future that God has for me does not include alcohol. And so I had to recommit mm-hmm. to sobriety 3 years ago today. And I'm so happy and grateful that I recommitted. And so I want to just like encourage anyone out there who was like, well, I made a decision and then I went back and I fiddle faddled and I changed my mind and I took a detour for a minute, that recommitment is greater than commitment, because you can change your life by recommitting to a decision that you have made. And so I know there's a lot of women out there that are in our circles who made a commitment to become a real estate investor or to do something different in their business. And they feel discouraged because it hasn't all played out the way they thought. They got sidetracked. They started fiddle faddling around with other ideas. And I just want to encourage our listeners that recommitment can also change your life. You don't have to feel like, because it would be real easy for me to say, well, I blew it. I'm a failure. And to like wallow in that for a long period of time. And I believe that one of the best things we can do for ourselves is say, that sucked. Now what? I'm going to do it differently moving forward. And that doesn't define who I am, that I had a failure. It defines who I am, the decisions and the action that I'm taking today. and that's everything. Right.
Yeah, that's right. It's actually how you respond to that. Because we all, like you said, we all face difficult decisions or decisions that when we look back on it, that probably I would do it different, you know, next time. Yeah. So the key is not that you're experiencing difficult times, not that you're experiencing not quite sure, you know, what I want to do with my life or if I'm on the same, if I'm on the right path. It's what you do about it. It's how yes. you move from that. Because even when you're saying you had, you know, when we talk about commitment and recommitment, sometimes the recommitment is what makes that initial commitment even more stronger and you're more faithful and dedicated to it because you know that it's right for you. It's the right path. Because yeah. I tried to step back over here for a second. It's just like, you know, having a bad boyfriend. And I hate to use that as a comparison. Yeah. But you think like, oh, because he brought flowers, he's going to be better, but he's still the same bad boyfriend. Yeah. You know? So, yeah. you know, so it's not... You can't be hard on yourself because you had to kind of you went out there and you tried something different or you thought that I could handle this. And then you realize quickly that, no, actually, I was on the right path. You know, it was just a bump in the road. It wasn't a brick wall that I ran into. It was just a bump in the road. So I have I know now what's on the other side. And I now confidently choose to go back onto this particular path. With everything that I experience behind me, that encourages me and lifts me up so that I know for sure I'm in the right place. Yeah. So what I hear from what you're sharing with me is that that you had to recommit to knowing that you were in the right place at the right time for the right reasons. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. It is exciting. And, you know, and it's very interesting because, and I'm just, I share real stuff. Like I'm not holding back here. And, you know, at the time, 3 years ago when I relapsed, and I went back to drinking, what was really, really interesting to me was that there were really good things happening in my life. Yeah. It was not, because of a low point. Mm-hmm. My first grandbaby was born, which was me stepping into a different identity, like a new identity. I became a ya-ya and I got a grand boo and I'm so excited. And I think when we are in a moment in our life that is calling us to a next level identity, that is where we will sometimes do things to kick ourselves back into our old comfort zone of scarcity and misery and toxicity. And I thought that drinking was a way for me to just celebrate and be happy. And what I learned really quickly, and this is like peeling back the curtains big time here, you know, because when I 5 years ago, when I was at my lowest point, and I was looking to alcohol to be my solution, and it was a daily morning till evening. I was drinking all day, every day. And what I learned was that when I relapsed, there was this moment where I was like, oh, I got this. I'm stepping into my new identity and maybe now I can handle this.
Yeah.
And there was some form of self-sabotage there. I know that there was.
Right.
And you know, I thought I can handle this. And I have to tell you, when I picked up the bottle again, and within 2 weeks, I was drinking so much that this is gross. I was vomiting blood. And so.
That's all right.
And thank you. I knew that that is not who I wanted to be for my kids. And I was isolating. I was hiding. I was hiding what I was doing again. And I had made a promise to myself that I would never engage in behavior that I felt the need to hide from my family or from the world because I was doing something that made me feel ashamed. And I know there's a lot of people out there who can drink socially and they can... you know, and they can handle it. I am not that girl. I learned that about myself. And I'm so, my tears today are because of gratitude because I feel so rescued.
Yeah.
I feel so rescued. And I know that nobody could do that. Nobody could make that decision except for me. Nobody could choose right. that for me. Nobody could do the work for me. I had to make a decision. I had to recommit and then do the work. Yes. And so for me, that meant I got back into meetings with people that would support me. And I did 90 meetings in 90 days and I took massive action to get back on track to where I knew that I needed to be and what works for me to be able to create the life and the identity that I want to live. And that recommitment and that decision absolutely changed my life. And my life has changed so dramatically. And I think there's a lot of people that they look at you or they look at me and they see the good things that have happened in our life. And they don't always see the dark times where a decision had to be made.
That's right.
And the massive action that was taken in order to be the person that we needed to be right. in order to have what we wanted to have, because we were willing to do what we needed to do.
Right. Which I describe as putting in the work.
Putting in the work.
Yes. Because people don't see you putting in the work. They just see the results.
Right.
You know, of all the hard work. And even when you were going back to what you were saying, even when you were describing, you know, what happened so quickly for you during that time that you had this actual physical response
yeah.
to deciding to drink again. In my mind, you know, what I heard was that God had to speak to you in that fashion and so harshly for
harshly.
You to realize.
Harshly. Yes,
so harshly for you to realize that you can do something totally different to, you know, yeah. to accomplish the goals or to feel what it was that you thought you needed to use alcohol to celebrate and all those things. Yeah. It was like, no, you were already mm-hmm. on the right path. You don't need that. So when I heard you say that, it reminded me of when I was going through my divorce.
Yeah.
And I was one of those people that never thought I would get divorced. Divorce wasn't an option. My parents were together until my mother passed away 26, 27 years. So divorce wasn't an option in my mind. And so when my ex-husband, just on a phone call, because we had a commuter marriage at that time, on a phone call, just like, hey, I don't want to be married anymore. I don't know why I married you.
Wow.
And a phone call. You know, so when he said that, I was devastated. But it wasn't until I went through all of the emotions that's connected to grieving the loss of a marriage. I mean, I cared for him. I loved him. I didn't expect it. It came out of nowhere. So but once I went through the process, I realized that I was able to receive further down the road when God said to me, you are so loyal and so committed that I know that you would have never left on your own. So I had to have him leave you.
Wow. Wow.
But I was open enough to receive that. So in what you shared with me about, you know, at what point you realized like, this is not it. You were open enough to receive that and you acted on it. Again, you didn't beat yourself up. You didn't stay there and continue to like, oh, you know, I'm not going to let other people know what was going on. None of that. Mm-hmm. You actually acted. So the key, I think, that people have to remember, I will encourage people to remember, even though you might be having a difficult time, even though it may seem like it's the worst day of your life, even though it may seem like everybody else has it together, but I don't, you know, be open enough to receive what God is trying to show you.
Yeah.
And how he's trying to move in your life. Now, if I wasn't open enough to receive that this is what's best for you right now, and I made the decision for you, and I'm thankful that you heard me. Mm-hmm. If I was not in that place where I could receive that information, I could have kept fighting for something that was unhealthy mm-hmm. for us both.
Right.
You know, even though it was different from what I experienced, even though it was different from what I expected for my own life, I didn't beat myself up. I didn't call my, you know, I didn't do all the things that I would, you know, that sometimes you see other people do. And again, that's the reaction side, because you don't really know exactly what they're doing, but mm-hmm. that's what you see. I decided to kind of center down and not make it about, you know, why did he do this? But God, what is it you're trying to show me about me? How could I not know that this person that I'm in a relationship with and that I love and have these strong feelings for was this unhappy?
Wow. That means,
how can I not know? So that means I need to not focus on him, focus on me, focus on, you know, how I can be a better, you know, a better person and have a better understanding of what's going on with the people in my life. So that I can be more in tune with what was, you know, what was happening. So that for me was a defining point for me, because I also realized in that moment that I had never really taken the time to ask myself, what do you want? So as I'm sitting on the floor, you know, digesting all, you know, that this my husband is basically asking me for a divorce. And I'm like, well, what do you want? And I didn't have an answer to that question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to, and I was dealing with all that, at, you know, at that time as well. But I look back on it now and it was an awakening. I see it as an awakening. So it had to happen in that way. It had to look that way. It had to feel that way for me to be committed to that. This is the right path for me. I wish him well. I do. I wish him well. but for me, that was a transitional time in my life. And that opened the door for everything else that came behind that, even some of the future lessons. But it opened the door for me to understand that it's not more than I can handle. It may hurt. It may be uncomfortable, but it is not more than I can handle. In order for me to get to the other side, I have to go through this experience. And that's what I'm hearing from you, because I was in your life and actively, you know, you and I meet weekly, even now, still meet weekly. And have been meeting weekly since, what, 2021.
Right.
So that means I was in your life at the time that this was going on, you know, and as you were moving through it. And I'd like to think that as a result of you having the support system that we offered each other, made it easier for you to come. And I remember when you came and shared it with us, to come and share and rejuvenate and reconnect and move forward. And that was as a result that God had planted these people around you, because he knew it was going to happen. That he had planted these people around you to encourage you, to let you off the hook so that you can now, you know, go to the next level. And then when you celebrate your second and third grandchild, the celebration was different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was different.
Yeah.
So I can relate. I receive that. I am super, super proud of you and the example that you set, not only for your own life, but for those around you that you don't even realize is looking at you.
I know that's the truth.
Yes.
And, you know, a couple things that you just talked about are so, so important. You talked about, you know, letting yourself off the hook or other people letting you off the hook. And it is not about pretending like it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. It's not about not taking responsibility. It is, I think one of the things that keeps us stuck is shame. And guilt and resentments. Mm-hmm. And what you described in your experience when your husband gave you that information, most people don't have that inner dialogue that says, what part of this can I take ownership of? Right. And it makes all the difference. Because I think most of us are programmed, or it's just easier or more comfortable for us to look around and say, who can I blame? Like, they were so awful. I was nothing wrong with me. It was everybody else. It was my circumstances. It was my situation. And one of the greatest lessons that I've learned on my sobriety journey is the ability to look at something that happened and we call them resentments, and be able to look at that and say, what piece of that can I take ownership of? I need to take ownership of? And sometimes bad things happen and it is not our fault. And we are, and sometimes we are truly a victim of a traumatic experience.
That's right.
And I hold that with, you know, I hold space for that for people. And that was a really hard thing, because there's been hard things that happened in my life. And I had to ask myself, what piece of that can I take ownership of? Because I can't control what someone else did to me. I can control my response. I can control my expectation of that person that they did not meet. And right. so when I look back at some of the things that have happened in my life and I say, okay, what was it that I need to take ownership of? Sometimes the answer is I expected that person to behave in a way that they were not capable of in that moment. And so I have built a resentment against them because they did not meet my expectations.
Right, right, right.
You know
I can relate to that because I think for me, and thinking about that particular situation, I felt for me that the only person I can affect change in is myself, just like what you said. And I wanted to get to healing.
Yeah.
And I knew that if I continued to focus on something I could not control, it was going to delay my healing.
Yeah.
So that's when I was like, take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. You can only change your own life and your own path. So focus on that. Don't worry about the outside, you know, forces or what other people's behaviors and all those kind of things. But start with taking care of yourself and then the healing will come. Because it was very painful. It is painful when you have those types of experiences. And thank you for the grace of God that I was able to understand that, okay, this is when you got to turn it inward. This is when you got to make it about, you know, what do I need or what can I do different in the future and all those kind of things. And it's not, you know, it's not intended to beat yourself up as much as it is to elevate yourself in your thinking. And how you approach difficult situations, because, you know, I try to keep the noise out when it comes down to the decisions that I need to make in my life, because society has set things up, certain things up to look a certain way because they keep saying it over and over again. This is what it's supposed to look like. And I consider myself the kind of person that thinks outside of the box. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah. I try not to allow myself to kind of get caught up in that. But to approach it from the standpoint of how can I move forward from here? What kind of steps do I need to take moving forward from here? Whether that is slow down, give yourself a chance to recover, to rest. I am a firm believer in therapy. I've always been a firm believer in therapy. If you maintenance your car and you maintenance your health, why wouldn't you maintenance your mind, something you use every day, all day?
Right.
So you don't, just because you're consulting with a therapist or you have a therapist does not necessarily mean that it's something wrong as much as it could mean that something's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So I'm a firm believer of that. So I think that because I was already in that place, it made it possible for me to get to healing and going and being prepared to go to the next level a little quicker than it would have with someone else. Because I've witnessed other friends kind of spiral when certain things happen in their life, and it takes them longer to kind of recover because they sit there a little bit too long.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that there is something that is an addictive quality when it comes to, when it comes to feeling sorry for yourself, and that, you know, that spiral can be, we can perpetuate that. Because that becomes our new comfort zone and we cling to it like as if it is our new identity, that this bad thing happened and now that's all I'm going to think about and it's all I'm going to talk about and I'm going to let it be my excuse for why I don't do things that are good for me and why I don't take action and it is harder for me because, and we allow it to be the thing that keeps us stuck. Mm-hmm. Or for some people, it may be shame about something that they did. It wasn't even something someone did to them. It was something that they did. And we allow that to be the story that we continue to tell about ourselves.
That's right.
And it becomes our identity and it becomes, we don't even realize that, that we develop this, sort of reliance on that being that excuse being the thing. Yeah. That we can keep coming back to because it lets us, using that excuse lets us off the hook from having to show up for our life.
Right.
People feel sorry for me because, well, I feel sorry for me because, and that idea of like, what are you, it's like that was awful. Now what? Yeah. Now what? Yeah. Like we control our response to a challenging situation, to, you know, a series of terrible events even. And it doesn't mean that your whole life has to be determined by something bad, by a diagnosis, by a divorce or a death or a bankruptcy or any of these things that can be major defining stressful things in our life. The the things that we have to do to pull ourselves out of that, because nobody can do it for you.
Yeah.
Nobody is coming along to do this thing for you. And so I have this mantra sometimes that I say in my head, when I've made a decision, the next thoughts that come to my mind are like, and if it is to be, it is up to me. Nobody mm-hmm. is coming along to do this thing for me. Nobody can do the spiritual work for me. Nobody can go to therapy for you.
That's
right. You have to be the one who puts
you gotta be in the seat.
Yes. And people can, you can allow people to come alongside you and accept help yeah. from others, but nobody is going to do that spiritual work for you. God is going to show up for you when you show up for him.
That's right.
And he's going to show who he is in your life if you show up as his child, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. You know, I think it's important to remember that, you know, we're the drivers of our own life. So if you want to pull over and sit on the shoulder for a while, then you're not going to reach your destination in the time that you was planned for you to reach it, because you're allowing some of the things that the choices you had to make or the circumstances that you were faced with, you can allow it to take you off course, or you can use it as a life lesson and let it, you know, push you forward. So there are choices that we need to make. You know, when we continue to tell the story over and over again, and then you hear yourself telling it one more time, then you have to ask yourself, why do you keep telling the story?
Yeah.
You know, what is it that you're getting from this? You know, why aren't you allowing yourself to move beyond this, you know, this experience? And like you said, bankruptcy and all of those things, it's all in how you look at it. If you dwell on it as a failure, if you use these words, mistake, failure, and things of those natures, and you walk and live in it as if it is, then it's hard to look at it as a lesson.
Yes.
A pivoting point. So when I look back at my divorce and how it came together, and I look back at, you know, the fact that I was forced into bankruptcy, because that was the second part of his announcement, and I'm filing for bankruptcy. So I was forced into bankruptcy. And I think about where I was at that time, I now see it as it was a transitional time in my life, and it was pivotal that I was able to kind of receive that information and understand that God had so much more for me, but I had to move out of this place where I was treading water. I didn't even know I was treading water.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, I'm here. I don't know if I would be here and talking with you and having the experience that I'm having right now with my family and completely changing the path of my life for my family. I don't know if I would be here as quickly as I am if I had not have gone through that, if I had not put those lessons into my little backpack and went on down the road and allow it to kind of service me as I move forward and making more difficult long-term decisions. So it's all, I think it also starts at how you look at your experiences and your journeys in the times that you have to transition. You know, how do you look at it? How do you describe it when you look back on it? Is it really a failure? Or is it one of those times where you realize that it was time to pivot? It mm-hmm. was time to transition. My season in that space was over.
Yeah.
So your season in that space of, and this is what I'm hearing you say, your season in the space of using alcohol as something to that you could use for celebrations, use for not, you know, not so great times or whatever, that season was over. So you went back thinking that, oh, I can still do this. No, but God was like, no. That season of your life is over.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I have so much gratitude for, and I think, you know, being in gratitude is also a choice, because we can choose, you can choose your response to it. You can choose to show up and think about all the failures, mm-hmm. you know, because I could also say this is the anniversary of 3 years ago when I failed, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it was, no, this is the anniversary of the day I made a decision to do something different.
That's right.
The day that I decided and I recommitted to becoming the person that I need to be for my family, for my grandbabies, for the women that I serve,
that's right.
you know, and that's something to be grateful for. So we don't kick ourselves for past failures. We learn from them and we take action and we move forward and we keep moving forward. And here's the truth. We have to recommit every day to who we are choosing to be, because that for me and anybody that's ever had a struggle with addiction knows that it is 24 hours at a time. I am, you know, yeah, I mm-hmm. am only as, you know, as healed as I am willing to continue to stop, you know, to not pick up a bottle today. Mm-hmm. That, you know, this can change in a blink, and I don't take it for granted.
Yeah.
And, cause I've been there and I know what that looks like for me. And I know for me that if I picked up again, it would be the thing that kills me. I know that for a fact. Yeah. Because I saw how very, very quickly my body deteriorated based on what I was doing, and that there's not a limit for me. I will drink yeah. until I pass out, and it's awful. So yeah. I know that that's not what God has for me. And so I feel so, so grateful that I surround myself with people who keep me accountable, that encourage me to keep moving forward. You know, I want to talk about another decision that you made me think of that also changed my life. Mm-hmm. And I don't celebrate an anniversary for this decision. This is just like an emotional sobriety decision that I made yeah. years and years ago. So I got divorced 16 years ago, maybe 17 years ago. I can't remember how long now, but, when I was going through my divorce from my first husband, the thing that was a decision that changed everything was I made a decision to be kind. Because I recognized that in our marriage, I was not kind a lot of times, and I was hurt and I was lashing back, and we were, you know, fighting a lot and doing things to hurt each other for way too long. And I was in a relationship where I knew it needed to end, but I didn't know what I was going to do. You know, I was a stay-at-home mom. When we got together, we had babies really young, and I was like, I want to, you know, be a stay-at-home mom. And I didn't have that financial, like, I didn't know what I was going to do if I was by myself. And so I stayed way longer than I should have.
Yeah.
And I recognized that I had been unkind, and I could go back and say, well, he did this and he did this and wah, wah, wah. But the truth was that I had been unkind. And if I was going to co-parent effectively and have a good, you know, one of the biggest things that keeps us stuck is when we have a baby, we got kids together and we're like, I don't want them to be in a divided house or, you know, having to go back and forth with their duffel bags. Like, that's heartbreaking. And I said, I can't control that this marriage is done, but I can control how I'm going to respond to this person.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, he was not always kind afterwards, but I made a decision that I was going to be kind. Mm-hmm. And we had people over the years that would say, how do you guys co-parent so well? Like, how are you like in the same room together and you're nice, like you're okay. That's what I always would say is like, I made a decision to be kind, and mm-hmm. it doesn't matter how he treats me. It doesn't matter how right. I can choose to be kind. And it doesn't mean I'm a doormat. It doesn't mean I let people walk all over me. It just means that in the day-to-day interactions, if something goes sideways, I'm going to treat him how I would want to be treated. And it worked out. Like, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, it worked out. And we have amazing children that are the adult, you know, product of a divided household, and they are healthy and thriving. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they went through hard things. Don't get me wrong. Every kid does, even if they don't come from a split household, but that decision to be kind, no, regardless of how someone else was behaving or misbehaving, I decided how I was going to show up.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that's the key. That yeah. is the key, because even hearing you say that, it makes me go back even further when I became a teenage mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, and one of the things that I had to say to myself is that my son's father is doing the best he can with what he has. With
yes.
what he has in that moment. I know. So I had to look at it that way, that he's doing the best he can with what he has. Now, is it, you know, is it what I needed? No, maybe not. But he gave me the best that he had to give in that moment. And I had to be okay with that. And I made myself okay with that. That way we can be on equal playing field, because I'm doing the same thing. I'm doing the best that I can with what I have.
Right.
So I had to remind myself of that. Because what was the most important thing for me, which I'm sure was for you, is that I created an environment for my son.
Right.
That he could be healthy and that he did not feel like he had to choose, but he had two parents that weren't in the same house that loved him, and that, you know, and that was bringing together other people around him that loved him. So it looked different, yes, but you're still getting, you know, you're going to still get the love that you need, and know, understand that, that you're important, all the things. Mm-hmm. That became my focus, not the reasons why it didn't work the way that I thought it should work, or it didn't look the way that society said it needed to look. As a parent. So it was a decision. Again, it goes back to what we were saying earlier. You need to make a certain, you know, you need to make a decision about how you want to live your life. That's not based off of how someone else responds.
Right.
So showing up, being the best you when you show up, regardless of how someone else shows up. And I call that, you know, you don't live a reactive life. If I find myself responding from a place that's not normally me, that means I'm reacting to someone else and I'm not being the person that God made me to be. So I have those conversations with myself because I'm constantly monitoring myself to make sure that I'm being authentic to who I am. And being nasty and mean is not who God made me to be. But being reactive to someone else's behavior towards me and I respond that way, that means I'm being reactive and I have to pull back.
Right. Oh, this is good stuff. And I have to tell you, and I know that you know this, but I want people to hear from this. You know, we talk about business a lot on this podcast, but it is your life experiences and the lessons that you learn from them that allow you to be the entrepreneur that you need to be, because it is the things that shape your identity.
Yes.
And those lessons that you and I are talking about today, mm-hmm. And also just knowing, like, it helps you to know what you are capable of.
Yeah.
Because I have been through hard things, I know that I can handle hard things. And so I make decisions that sometimes make me have to do hard things because we've developed that inner fortitude and knowledge mm-hmm. that no matter what comes my way, I trust myself that I'm going to be able to handle it because I've been through some crap.
Yeah,
and here I am, and I'm still moving forward, and life didn't end, and I know that I get to a decision. If something goes wrong, I always have a decision.
Yes,
I always get to choose how I'm going to show up in that moment, mm-hmm. In response to it, how I'm going to behave with other people, how I'm going to take care of myself in that moment, and I can trust myself, and that is what confidence comes from.
Yes. Yes. I like to think of it as that we're not just, like you said, we're not just talking about from the business standpoint, but we're talking about the whole woman.
Yeah.
Every aspect of who we are. It's all connected. It's all connected. So in reality, you should be your best cheerleader. You should be the first cheerleader.
Right.
Right. Cheer yourself on. I mean, it starts with you because you don't want to get to the point where, no one said that they were impressed. No one said that, you know, that I was wonderful today. So am I really wonderful? Girl, yeah. You wake up wonderful, but you got to tell yourself that, you know, from the very beginning. One of the things that I did when I was going through my divorce to kind of lift me back up emotionally and mentally, because I was living in Georgia by myself while I was going through this.
Yeah.
I put post-its all around my house on the mirror and all, you know, everything just to remind myself, girl, you're gorgeous. You're amazing. You're strong. All of these things, you know, I just put post-its all around just to remind me, you know, how great I am.
Yeah.
It really did help. And a few years ago when I was, you know, struggling a little bit with, I deal with depression. That's one of the symptoms of the scleroderma. Is depression. So I try to be mindful of my moods and all those things. So when I find myself feeling what I describe as blue, then I start these little things, you know, putting the post-its up, reminding myself of this, you know, it's trying to stay upbeat, all the things.
Yeah.
But it starts with me.
Right.
It starts with me.
Yeah. It's a recommitment to your identity. And we take action, and this is the thing, y'all, we take action and then the feelings follow.
That's so right. When
I recognize a pattern in me, I have to pick up my tools. And even though I don't feel like doing the thing, I don't feel like journaling today. I don't feel like being like telling myself good things.
Yeah.
I don't feel like reading my Bible. I'm going to pick up my tools and I'm going to take action because I trust that the feelings will follow. And that is what I know to be true.
That's right.
Is when we take action, the feelings follow. And so when you find yourself going back to old ways or spiraling or, getting blue, whatever that looks like for you, that we got to know what the tools are that we are going to pick up. We got to have a plan for that moment so that we don't go back to where we don't want to be, because it's not, you know, in a moment of clarity, it is not what we choose. It is, but we get to choose if we're going to allow ourselves to keep going down that path, or if we're going to do something different and recommit to ourselves, to our identity, who we choose to be.
And having those tools is basically, you train yourself that when you're having those stressful moments, or you find yourself dealing with things that really takes you off course. It can take you off course. But when you have those tools in your toolbox, then it becomes second nature for you to reach for that tool.
Right.
Than it is to just kind of stay in that moment. So you want to create a pattern of behavior so that whatever comes your way, whatever difficulty comes your way, you know, you have the tool in your toolbox, and you start reaching for it, and you don't even realize you're reaching for it because it becomes second nature, or it becomes, you know, a habit for you. So definitely, you know, make sure you pour into yourself, you know, give yourself permission, you know, to change your mind. You know, and two, to be the driver in your own life and your destiny. If you feel like you're in the passenger seat and things are just happening to you, and you feel like that, I say, get out the car and get in the driver's seat and stop playing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how you're going to reach your destinations. Become the driver.
Beautiful. Well, this is a great conversation, Brenda. Thank you so much for celebrating with me today, for giving our listeners so much insight and encouragement. I appreciate you as my sister. Thank you.
I appreciate you as well. And I'm super, super proud of you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Well, sisters who are listening, if something on this show today resonated with you, let us know. Send us a message. You can message me at AndreaEngstrom.com. And I'd love for you to join my free Facebook group, Bold Women in Business Sisterhood, where I go live every single week and we have real conversations about what's going on in life, and encourage you to move towards your goals in your business and take action. I want to say thank you again to my co-host, Brenda Stroud. Great conversation today. Thank you.
Thank you. I love being here with you and sharing this time with you.
Thank you. Well, till next time, I'm Andrea Engstrom, and we are your sisters in business, encouraging you to take action on your dreams. Show up for your life with power and authenticity. Be bold, be tenacious, and make it happen.
Bye.
Ha 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 ha!